Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, editor, publisher, founder of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter, established in 1987. And also PWTorch.com, which launched in 1999, our sister brand MMATorch.com, and free and new apps that are available on iPhone and Android. Search for them in the App Store. Search PWTorch and MMATorch. And I'm also host of this, the PWTorch Livecast. We are on 6 days a week. I host on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Don't forget, when I say 6 days a week, that includes the new Nostalgia Show, hosted by Jim Valley. Saturday morning wrestling, starting at 8:30 Pacific, 11:30 Eastern, every Saturday morning. Rhonda Shearer is on this week talking about 90s WWF and her up all night stint on USA Network. So check that out. All right, Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net scheduled to join me momentarily. Not to call him out here, but I think he's late today. I don't see him on the switchboard. So, anyway, what a strange episode of Raw last night. Braun Strowman against Dean Ambrose in the main event? What is that all about? And they didn't do a good job hyping it up. If WWE planned ahead on these types of things, they could have been building up Braun Strowman for a few weeks and really putting him over and then really selling the idea that maybe Paul Heyman arranged for this match to happen. Maybe, you know, use some pull, use some influence, because he wanted to scout, and he kind of talked about this in a passive way, but he wanted to scout how Dean Ambrose would do against how he'd do against somebody similar to Brock Lesnar in size, or even larger, although they don't need to admit that. But instead, they just kind of threw him out there. I mean, this is one of those matches where if you do it right, I really think over the course of 3 weeks, you can make this match feel like a main event and create more of a storyline around it, have more promos. Instead, we didn't hear from Dean on this. We got the kind of fun cameo from Terry Funk, one of the all-time greats. But he didn't really address Braun Strowman and what this means less than 2 weeks away from Mania. You know, we heard a generic interview from the Wyatt family, but it's kind of like the openings to those TNA pay-per-views over the past 15 years. It's all the bluster and all of the, I don't know, it just was a weird show. Anyway, let's also talk about the phone lines, which are wide open. We've got people lining up on hold already. 646-721-9828 is a phone number. You can also email the show at pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. That is pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. If you're interested in submitting a question, but you can't call the program live. So we certainly welcome that also. All right, let's go ahead and see if this is Jason Powell. Jason, are you there?
I am. How's it going, Wade?
Doing good. Wasn't last night's Raw kind of weird?
Yeah, especially for WrestleMania season. The penultimate week heading into Mania. This has been a lousy WrestleMania season, and they can you know, use the excuses about injuries and things, but you know what you have. They've had the. It's not like they're just getting injuries now. They've had time to build these matches, and they've just done a terrible job.
And we also had weird placement in terms of, you know, you had a weird main event, which I just talked about. I think if you're going to do it, you can make it seem, you know, three times more special than awful. You know, if you build it up over a few weeks and make it seem like something's at stake, and they just didn't give anything to the main event. It was just something they presented it, but they didn't really promote it. You had, as I was kind of saying, just kind of that gibberish, rambling, platitude-filled promo from the Wyatt family that doesn't really get you excited for anything. It just kind of sets the tone for what the Wyatt family are like. But I think we're kind of numb to that in a lot of ways now. But I mean, who had their money on Stardust, Zack Ryder, and Sin Cara in a three-way at the top of hour number three? I mean, you know, it was a weird show. But I think the strangest thing about it, I'm curious what callers think too on this, is the overcompensation of Shane McMahon. I thought that you know, Edge saying that the difference maker in the match is the Hell in a Cell. That's what gives Undertaker the advantage. I interpreted that, somebody on Twitter just disagreed, I interpreted that as Edge saying, minus Hell in a Cell, a pretty even fight. Maybe Shane has the advantage. Jericho, I thought, was over the top, calling this, what, the greatest main event in WrestleMania history, something like that. And then Vince McMahon, in a jaw-dropper, Jason, said Shane McMahon is probably the toughest WrestleMania opponent Undertaker's ever faced, the most difficult opponent. I mean, jaw-droppingly heavy-handed overstatements.
You had Brock Lesnar. You had Randy Orton. I mean, just a list of Taker opponents. Triple H himself. You know, I mean, the almighty Triple H. But Shane McMahon is somehow a tougher opponent for Undertaker. It's embarrassing. Hey, I'm all for going above and beyond to make this match feel larger than life, but there's a limit, and it reaches the point of absurdity. And if you're a viewer, you just start to shake your head. Even if you're into the match, you're just like, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense.
I don't think that they're taking the success of WrestleMania for granted. Because it's a network model with a lot of people kind of rolling over with their monthly fees. Or are they really going to cancel if they don't like the show? Back in the day, meaning 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and earlier, they had to sell everybody who bought it last year on buying it this year and spending, you know, an increasingly large amount of money, but, you know, $60, $70, $80 as a one-time expense. I do think, Jason, this is a case where if they had healthy bodies, they'd be presenting a better show. But I think they're less worried about this lineup than they would be otherwise if there wasn't a network model. I mean, I think if you look at this lineup and you're charging people $70, I think WWE should be worried. But charging them $10, I think they're less worried. So I don't think they're not trying to give the best lineup, but I think they gave the best lineup they think they can with flawed buildup. But I do think they're less worried about disaster than they would be if this were a pre-network era lineup.
Yeah, this is one time where it does work to their advantage. I mean, if you're relying on impulse buys for this show, wow, good luck with that. I do wonder, too, if the network approach is what's preventing them from hyping some of the star power. Yeah, right now, I mean, we assume Steve Austin, John Cena, those types are going to be at the show, but we see them in the Shane video, but that's it. They're not even advertising them yet. They may still next week, but I really thought last night with the lack of star power that was advertised with no Lesnar, Shane, or Taker, it might be John Cena night. I thought he might be the guy that they name as like special referee or something of the Shane match, and granted, it wouldn't make much sense, but nothing about the Shane McMahon storyline has made sense.
Boy, if that isn't true. All right, let's go to phone calls after our first break for some sponsorship messages. Do want to note that Loot Crate is a sponsor this year of the PW Torch livecast. Loot Crate is a monthly subscription box service for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. For less than $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items that includes licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and more. You have until the 19th each month to subscribe and receive that month's crate. And when the cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. So make sure to head over to lootcrate.com and enter coupon code PWTORCH to save $3 on any new subscription. Loot Crate, it's like a friend who knows what you love and surprises you with an awesome present every month, except you're the one paying for it, but it's still cool. They ship to 27 countries. Tons of info on their site about that. Loot Crate, it's more than a subscription service. It's an entire community of fans who share their experience and interact with each other around the unboxing of each month's crate. They guarantee over $40 in value in every crate. Sometimes it's a lot more. Each month, there's a different theme. All items are curated around that theme. Themes are inspired by major movie and video game releases, as well as pulling from pop culture franchises we all know and love, such as Star Wars, Marvel, The Walking Dead, The Legend of Zelda, Superman vs. Batman, and more. Check it out. Coupon code PWTORCH. If you're like me, you've got a list of favorite websites and a list of favorite podcasts that you visit either every day or throughout the week, but there's probably not a lot of crossover between the two. However, with PW Torch Livecast, that's different. If you're a listener of this show, you should also be visiting our main website, pwtorch.com. loaded with updates covering news in more depth than you'll find anywhere else. Editorials you won't find anywhere else. Live TV coverage and pay-per-view coverage that's unmatched. And so much more on a newly redesigned, optimized, lightning-fast website. That's pwtorch.com. Check it out every day and bookmark it. No matter what device you're using, whether it's a mobile phone, a tablet, a laptop, or a desktop, there's a version that fits your screen and customized for your device. Check it out, pwtorch.com, one of the top sources of pro wrestling insider news since 1987 and online as a website since 1999. Don't miss out. Don't just listen to the live cast. In between live cast listens or while you're listening to the live cast, check out the latest headlines and exclusive articles at pwtorch.com. All right, we're back live. We're taking phone calls here at pwtorchlivecast.com. Don't forget, you can find our shows on demand at pwtorchlivecast.com or just search PWTorch Livecast, subscribe in iTunes or on popular podcast apps. I believe today we're number 18 among all sports podcasts in the entire universe, and that's pretty cool. Ahead of even the Steve Austin show today on iTunes and ahead of the Taz show and ahead of Between the Ropes, our guest Brian Fritz last week talking about his interview with Vince McMahon 2 weeks ago, actually. Matt McCarthy was my guest last week, former creative team member a few years back and also a stand-up comedian, a big pro wrestling gorilla fan. He joined us last week. So you can catch up on past interviews. Matt Hardy, EC3, Jim Ross, Steve Austin, so much more. Dixie Carter, a lot of big guests this year. They're available on our interview grid on the homepage at pwtorchlivecast.com. Let's go to the phone lines and continue our conversation about the penultimate. We love saying that word this time of year. We really only get to say it once a year in terms of the penultimate Raw leading into WrestleMania. And last night was the penultimate edition of Raw. Jason, I know you're a fan of being able to say that, and I think you limit yourself to saying that just once a year, don't you?
Yeah, something like that. Maybe once every 5 minutes. It's a special day. And it's a special time when you get there because it's one of the bigger words that I know, and it's all thanks to former Torch columnist Chris Savisa, who used to get the word wrong.
He thought it meant ultimate.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and so or it was actually, it was like ultimate underlined. Like penultimate.
Yeah, it was like super
yeah.
ultimate.
Yeah, super ultimate.
Exactly. Yeah, thanks to him, I learned that word, and now I can't wait for this time of year, every single year.
Yes, and every year we get to kind of take a little dig at Chris for getting it wrong. But
is he out there somewhere?
Yeah, he's out there. He's on Facebook.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, he's one of those people who signed up probably because his kids or his wife made him do it, and he never posted it, and he has like three friends.
Wow, he sounds a lot like me. I have a lot of friends. I just never really post there. I'm on Twitter at Pro Wrestling Net. I'm there a lot.
Yep. You can follow me at The Wade Keller and our brand at PW Torch. And while you're at it, if you're an MMA fan, at MMA Torch. All right, we'll pause while you do that. Okay, now we're back. Let's go to VIP member Rob from Boston, who can kick off the show with his question or comments for us. Rob, sorry to startle you there. Welcome to the live cast, and thanks for being a VIP member.
Oh, you're welcome. It's awesome value. Hey, Jason. Hey, Wade. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. I always love the Boston accents.
Yeah, well... I'm not gonna say yada ka for you, but I have a couple of comments and a question, if that's okay.
Yeah, yeah, go for it.
So, well, it's actually more like, well, my first statement is the lockbox thing about the Shane and the Undertaker and Vince. I haven't heard many people say this, and maybe I missed it, but I'm thinking maybe Vince used it more of a metaphorical kind of thing, like, yeah, you helped me out, so, you know, I want you to stop holding that over my head. Granted, if it is, it's a pretty horrible metaphor, but just because no one in WWE has brought it up since, I'm thinking maybe that's just a metaphorical thing, and a lot of criticism of this match, beside the fact that Shane isn't a wrestler, is the fact that why would he wrestle if he has something over his head? So I'm thinking maybe that's more of the reality aspect of it, of it's not really a lockbox. It's like I said, it's a metaphor. I don't know.
Well, let's take that real quick, Rob. Jason, they haven't brought up the lockbox that I remember since the initial promo. I think it's one of those things where we make a big deal out of it, and it might have been just a throwaway comment on their part. It also might have been something they planned to make an issue of and then just decided not to, maybe because everyone else started making too big of an issue of it. I did not, when I first heard it, Jason, think, oh, that's the key line. We're going to all wonder what's in the lockbox. I think it was more, I got something hanging over your head, Vince. It's in that lockbox. Sort of like, I'm not going to, it was, I thought it was maybe a way to just say, I'm not going to air our dirty laundry, but you have to realize it's there. And it was just a way to kind of establish that Shane had leverage. But I don't know that they're going to revisit it. And I'll add this to it. I think Rob is right that if he does have that kind of leverage, it does not explain why Shane agreed to not, I mean, Shane could have just said, Vince, because of what's in the lockbox, I want control of Raw, and you should be happy I don't want control of the whole company. Storyline-wise, it doesn't really explain why Shane would voluntarily put his ability to control Raw on the line having to be an Undertaker.
No, it made no sense. It was like they wrote that storyline right before they went out there and forgot a bunch of things, and it still doesn't make sense. So if Taker beat Shane, then Vince keeps control of Raw, but wouldn't Shane still be able to just blackmail him more?
Yes, you would think so. I mean, that's all.
And let's take this a step further. Shane takes control of Raw. Apparently he doesn't want SmackDown. What does that say about SmackDown?
That's true. And Brock's going to be on SmackDown this week, and he wasn't on Raw. So.
Yeah, Mauro Ranallo should just open that show by looking into the camera and saying, F you, Shane McMahon.
Let's get him to do that. Let's start tweeting that suggestion to him for tonight.
He'll retweet
taping.
It. There's a very good chance he will retweet that.
There is a good chance he will. I certainly will, too. Okay, Rob, back to you.
All right, so you guys kind of think of it the same way I do. My other kind of comment is it has to do with Austin. Austin's obviously, he's my favorite wrestler of all time, and I love when you're on his podcast, but I think those are his best podcasts, or one of them, when you guys are both on him.
No, the first thing he said was better.
Okay, there you go.
No hedging.
You can edit that out.
Okay, good.
The lack of hype of him being at WrestleMania is absolutely baffling. Again, maybe it's because I'm biased because he's my favorite, but he's from Texas. There's always rumors that he's going to come back. I don't think there's ever been more rumors of this WrestleMania, more because of what happened to Brock and just the fact that he's stone cold. If they're trying to introduce him in a surprise fashion, unless it's a huge, like, interfering in the main event and somehow Roman spears him to, in my eye, that's like, you know, like the best possible way for him to turn heel, which I don't think Austin would agree to. But the fact that he's not advertised, I thought Vince was going to say he was the special guest referee yesterday. That was my point. So I just want to hear what you guys say.
Yeah, Jason, I'm wondering if you think they will have a last second additional announcement on who can be a special referee in that match. I'm not holding out hope it's Steve Austin. The sense I get is, you know, that was kind of Steve did that once. It was fine. I don't think that would really excite him. I know Jim Ross had said if WWE wants Austin to do something at Mania, Jim Ross said on this show what they should do is give him a list of three or four ideas that they like and let Steve pick among them. And I think Jim's right. I mean, somebody of Austin's stature should be a bigger deal if he's going to be at Mania, but it also should be something they corroborate with him on. Now, maybe they have, and that will come out next week, but I thought Vince's announcement this week was a big deal. We haven't touched on it yet, but also poorly announced. I think that the crowd wasn't quite sure how to react to it. So, Jason, your thoughts on Austin, special referee, hyping Cena and Rock, and the Vince announcement. Take them in any order.
Yeah, I would actually insert Rock in place of Austin if you want to have Roman Reigns spear someone and make it a big deal, because you may get a payoff to that. You know, with Austin, you're not going to get the payoff. Austin's not going to come back and work a match with Roman Reigns. Very doubtful. Where Rock maybe just as doubtful at this point, I'm not quite sure. I mean, he's not working in front of 100,000 people at WrestleMania, so maybe that means he's done. But I think with him, the door is at least still open to the possibility, and so I would have him do that. But I am very surprised. We haven't had any type of announcement again regarding Cena, Austin. We know Rock is going to be there. We have no idea what he's doing. Shawn Michaels. I don't know if there will be a special referee. I don't think Austin makes sense. It would have to be Shane using his leverage to make that happen, because
you're right.
why would Vince ever want Steve Austin to be the referee? There's a way to do it, but I at this point, now they may be saving a lot of big surprises for next week's show, the go-home show, but they may also feel like Mania is going to do what it's going to do. I don't agree with this approach. I would want to advertise some things in advance, but they may be saving guys, all of those big names for run-ins during the Shane match, for instance. And that match, it's going to need smoke and mirrors. And I could easily see Austin hitting Taker with a stunner, or even Shane for that matter, because of his issues with the McMahons. You don't know which way they'll go with Austin. And wait, I think he can do either or, because I think the crowd is going to be maybe split. That's one of the great mysteries of Mania, is that we have no idea who the crowd is actually going to cheer for in that match. Do they cheer for Taker?
Now that it's
his last Mania?
Well, the only match where we know who's going to get cheered is Triple H is going to get cheered against Roman.
That's true.
The McMahon announcement plays into that in terms of what the crowd reaction will be, because now you've actually said, would you rather have Shane in charge of Raw? Whatever that means. What, is Shane going to give us, like, AJ Styles against Kevin Owens? Like, is that what we're supposed to – I mean, like, what –
Balor
what
Club, Samoa Joe.
Well, no, my point – well, my – I guess my point is what would Shane, among the larger fan base, what would they think – well, I guess, really, this is the wrong time to make this statement, because what Shane would probably do is not give us Dean Ambrose against Braun Strowman as a main event.
right.
I guess – you know, like Shane, it'd be kind of nice to have Shane, like, you know, doing video blogs or something, going, if I'm in charge of Raw, I'm not going to stick you with Dean against Braun as a main event. I'm going to hold Kevin Owens to what he implied in terms of who the three wrestlers would be in that three-way. I will require, I don't know, you know, like, just kind of, like, act like he's kind of cleaning things up. But like you said, and say, I'm not going to, you know, some of the guys that you want to see who are on this NXT TakeOver show, I'm not going to hold them back. I'm going to bring up the main roster. But the problem, and this is the problem with the whole scenario, is do you really want to accentuate what's wrong with Raw that Shane would make better? But here's the other problem. Yes, fans are going to be cheering for Shane to be in charge of Raw due to some kind of fuzzy imagination of their imagination saying what Shane would do better if he were in charge. Maybe just less Stephanie, and maybe that's enough. But on the other side now, Undertaker, if Shane wins, will no longer wrestle at WrestleMania. Who wants that? Jason, don't people want to see Undertaker at future WrestleManias?
That's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't. If you're going to this show, maybe you're like, hey, I want to say that I saw Taker's last WrestleMania match. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's and that whole stipulation, I think it's a major tell. I think it tells us Shane is going over. It tells us that we are getting Cena versus Taker at SummerSlam or somewhere other than next year's WrestleMania. Because otherwise, why don't you just say Taker's career is on the line?
Yes. Well, I accept that you're assuming that they would have thought all this through and done this fully logically, instead of out of desperation, Vince going, "What are we going to do to hook viewers? What are we going to do to add some spice to this match? Let's say that." Because here's the thing. I don't believe that if Undertaker loses, we've seen the last of wrestling at WrestleMania, because they'll just renege on the stip. They do that. They've done that before. They'll do it again for something that big. They'll just have Cena beg to have Undertaker reinstated. Or Shane can come out on Raw the next day and reinstate Undertaker. If Shane's in charge of Raw, they've said he essentially is in control of the whole company, so they can just put him in charge again. I don't know. This is what frustrates me about WWE, Jason, is there's the track record of sticking by stips and doing things logically isn't there, so it takes some of the fun out of this very discussion. I don't think fans take seriously the idea that Undertaker will never wrestle at WrestleMania again, but you do have, when you have somebody with omnipotent power, why would Vince say if Undertaker loses, he can't wrestle at WrestleMania anymore? Why not just ban him entirely? I mean, I guess I could argue the other side.
It's as silly as Shane saying, I only want control of Raw.
Right, yeah. Although I can argue the other side for Vince, in the sense that Vince wants to create an incentive for Undertaker to try his hardest, but he also knows having Undertaker around for SummerSlam is good for business. So he kind of goes halfway with it. I mean, I guess you could argue that side, but I don't know. I mean, let's go back to Rob. See, Rob, give us one final comment, because we've got a lot of people on hold. I want to get to more.
Yeah, what you guys kind of laid out was kind of goes into my question. Like, what if Shane's going to win, like you said, reinstate him, but he can be the face of a different direction that Vince hopefully finally realizes is in need, and so he could kind of be like the reason why this change is going. And my question has to do with, could the popularity of UFC, I'm not a big fan, but I do follow it, could that possibly be triggering in Vince's mind, not a Monday Night War scenario, but, you know, like a combat, you know, quote-unquote combat sport war that possibly has, if they were going into a creative change, could have fueled that a little bit with the popularity of the UFC. And I'll leave it at that, and thank you, guys.
Yeah, Rob, thanks. Appreciate it. Good topics. Jason, I don't imagine Shane's background in, you know, MMA or training jiu-jitsu and what was the other one? Was it Valley Tudo? What was the striking art he was doing? Anyway,
I don't remember.
Wow. Okay. I do not see, and maybe I'll end up being wrong, that this storyline with Shane is a way for Vince and Kevin Dunn and Triple H to usher in this new era of WWE where they admit that what they were doing had grown stale and there's a better way, and they're going to let Shane be the guy who overhauls the way Raw is presented. I really don't think that's what's going on here.
I don't. I mean, I think it gets, in their mind, a fresh coat of paint. I think Shane changes things. I think the idea is that they get rid of the evil empire. Shane comes in, he's the nice guy for a while, and they do call some people up from NXT. Again, Joe, Balor Club, those types. And it's the right place to do it the night after WrestleMania in front of that rabid crowd that is going to be very familiar with anyone they bring up from NXT. I think those are the types of things you see change, and they'll try to do some changing of I don't think they're going to do a big production overhaul, for instance, but I think they'll try to make some storyline changes to make it seem like things are better. But I just think they're so stuck in their rut way that all this is really, in the long run, all this is going to mean is they're calling up some wrestlers.
Let's give you a chance, Jason, to talk about your website and your membership option and anything else you want to plug.
Yeah, on the site right now, Will Pruitt's Pause Review went up. WWE Raw viewership and ratings information. My WWE Raw hit list is available. And it was a busy morning for news. There was a lot going on. Eric Young did an interview discussing his departure from TNA. We have video footage of Luke Harper suffering an injury at last night's Raw in the dark main event. And that same video includes footage of a fan altercation that Braun Strowman got involved in. And kudos to him for handling his business pretty well. And unfortunately, the sad news of the situation, the Raw memoriam at the top of the show, details on a longtime WWE cameraman's daughter falling to her death. That is all available at ProWrestling.net. And on the All Access side, my daily All Access podcast is available for today. I also did yesterday's. Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett will be by tomorrow with the Pretentious Wrestling podcast on the All Access side. We are doing Monday through Friday, and you can check those out free of charge at blogtalkradio.com/ProWrestlingDOTNET, or just go to the main page at ProWrestling.net. The members are listening to my full-length audio review of last night's Raw, 44 minutes and plus a 50-plus minute Q&A audio show. Of course, they'll be hearing all sorts of audio content leading up to WrestleMania, including, if we can get the time straight, Jim Ross and I will be getting together tomorrow for the .NET Weekly audio show and discussing WrestleMania. I want to hear about his UR Fights experience, which should be very entertaining. He was calling it a demolition derby going into this, and so I can't imagine what he has to say coming out of it, but we'll find out in the .NET Weekly audio show exclusively for .NET members on the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. If you are interested in membership, visit the main page. You'll find the sign-up area on the right side. You'll find three different pricing options. The rates start at $7.50 for 1 month. If you want to try us out for longer than that, you can save yourself a little bit of coin by going up to our six-month plan or going all the way up to the annual plan, which brings that price down to an average of $5.50 a month. Again, all the details available on the main page at ProWrestling.net. And if you have any questions at all, hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet.
Excellent. Thank you, Jason. Let's go back to the phone lines, and let's go to VIP member Craig from Atlanta in the VIP Express Lane. Craig, what have you got for Jason and me today?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
I never want to be the how's it going guy, and I just...
Well, you are. You got to own it. Just became
I,
it.
I'm him. I am him. I just joined, so real quick, they mentioned Hulk Hogan by name on Raw last night. So
yeah, I noticed that.
If that, so I never, as you say, Wade, it's never a coincidence. So.
And they did not mention Lex Luger's when, was it AJ who did the torture rack? AJ Styles?
Yeah.
And, you know, JBL, I mean, he's good, any chance he gets to reference the 80s or 90s. Like, ooh, you know, yay, we can talk about the Simpson brothers or whatever. And he didn't mention, you know, Stan Hansen, yay, but he didn't mention Lex Luger. So, yeah, you always, I mean, it doesn't mean a mistake can't be made. But, yeah, I think that Hogan became, you know, more mentionable. But I wouldn't say that I talked about this on the Keller Hotline for VIP members and laid out the reasons. So I see almost zero chance of Hogan being at WrestleMania this year. I think that's more a case of we're not scared to mention it when it's obvious, but we're not, you know, kissing up to him or planning to bring him in. I don't think they think it makes a lick of difference on business. Jason, do you disagree with that at all?
No, I wholeheartedly agree, and I don't think they will bring him in for WrestleMania anytime soon.
Yep. Go ahead, Craig.
So I've been thinking about the main event and kind of how last year I was kind of down on the main event going into it, but I was actually impressed. The last time I was impressed with Roman Reigns was last year at WrestleMania. So I really do think he's going to have a good match. I'm starting to think that he's definitely going over, and I think we're going to see a Shield reunion. Has there been any talk of Seth Rollins possibly being back early? Would that be a good way to maybe at least mitigate some of the crowd chaos that's going to come from a Roman win?
Interesting, Jason. Yeah, if I mean, I think Seth Rollins, from I think the last I heard, he'd be able to certainly walk out without crutches to the ring. I don't think he's ready to wrestle
yet. He's back training in Iowa.
Yeah. So, I mean, he could certainly walk out and just look normal. I mean, he's not ready to be in a match. And if it was either before the Dean match or more likely if Dean survived the Lesnar match, you know, survived, in, figuratively speaking, you know, if he did an okay job, you know, battling Brock, but in the end lost, but he could still walk, then, you know, I mean, if you brought them to the ring, would that help mitigate the likely rejection of Reigns by a large part of the crowd, the ones who booed last night in Philly when they did the close-up of Roman's face after the, with that just Telenova close-up pondering look that's so stupid that WWE does. It's like, oh, just drives me nuts, some of their little stupid production techniques. Or as a side rant, oh, let's go backstage and show Stephanie texting. That'd be good television. Oh, who saw Kevin Owens coming? Whoa, what a surprise. It's just, there's just such lowbrow Telenova production stupid stuff that they do that drives me nuts. But anyway, where was I? I've totally lost.
Shield.
Go ahead, Jim.
The Shield.
Yes, the Shield.
Yes, I do think it would help. What do they do after that, though? Who do they face? I mean, are they going to face League of Nations? I don't think anyone wants to see that. And so unless they are going to all turn heel together, which I don't see happening, then I'm just not sure where it goes. I mean, yeah, they could have Rollins come out and turn on Hunter. I guess it could set up a Rollins and Hunter match down the road, but that's about it. I think you're kind of left with three guys that get along, at least temporarily. So I don't think it's going to happen. Wade, do you see it as being more likely than I do?
No, I don't think they're going to do a reunion. I think Reigns is going to be out there on his own doing his thing, and he's going to get booed, and they're just going to continue to march forward. I think, you know, Vince will just have his earplugs in and be smiling and nodding along. Maybe they just feed Vince is going to order one of his people to feed cheers into his headset so that he can kind of live his alternate reality version of what's happening at Mania and not have to deal with the reality.
Do you think we see Seth, though, Wade?
Oh, as far as Seth, no, I don't. Actually, I think they're going to save Seth for when he can really have an impact. It'll be I don't think they want to throw too many surprises at WrestleMania. They want WrestleMania to seem special, a must-see event, reward people, and all that. But I don't think they want to play all their cards that can be spread out over the course of a couple months post-WrestleMania. And I think having Seth come out and be kind of lost in the mix is not taking full advantage of the impact of when Seth does return.
Sure.
But if there's a real, real significant reason for him to be there storyline-wise, then they will. But I don't think they'll do it just as a cameo or to add mystery to, you know, sitting at ringside watching the world title match or anything like that. Craig, anything else?
Thanks for your thoughts, guys. I just hope they don't make that mistake again of thinking that putting The Rock out there with Roman's going to help. I hope Rock's smart enough to realize that I'm not going out there with the champion, Roman, closing out WrestleMania.
I think Rock learned his lesson last time, so unless it's part of a storyline, yeah, I don't see that happening. All right, Craig, thanks for being a VIP member.
Thank you, guys.
Cool. Yep, you bet. Bye. All right, let's go to VIP Express Lane again. Wayne calling, and 561. Wayne, state, confirm this is you and the city you're calling from.
Hey, guys, it is Wayne over here in Tampa, Florida, and thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for calling.
You know, I'll be heading out to WrestleMania in just a couple of weeks, and it's one of those things where I think I'm most looking forward to just kind of being around the spectacle. The last time I was at WrestleMania was, you know, it was WrestleMania 24, and I only went just for the main show, and you know, this time doing access and all everything else. But you know, in all of that, you know, that whole weekend, what I'm trying to figure out for myself is what I'm actually the most excited about, because it's not the actual card of WrestleMania. It's not the actual event itself. I'm excited about being there and in the presence of it all, you know, but not the actual event. And so I'm just trying to figure out, has there been another WrestleMania in all the years you guys have been covering that going into it, it has not been a real exciting event to look at? Or, you know, are we looking at kind of the weakest WrestleMania card ever, or have there been other cards that in the more, you know, the more recent years, you know, past six or seven and up, you know, that have been weaker?
I think, Jason, we have a tendency in retrospect, think that WrestleMania is pretty consistently awesome, and we kind of, the memories of the disappointing ones maybe fade a little bit. But I do think, and sometimes they look weak going in, and then they end up being better than we expect in execution.
Right.
I think, though, this is the weakest hype going into a WrestleMania in modern history, you know, since the streak became a streak, since it became a weekend event with Hall of Fame and everything like that. I mean, if we go back to, you know, the 90s, I mean, WrestleMania wasn't as big of a deal then. You know, I mean, it's actually grown to become more important. So, I think this is the lowest ranking WrestleMania of sort of however we define modern history. Jason, what do you think?
Yeah, that's just it. Card-wise, it's not a bad we it could be better, but there are things to like, especially when, once they get around to adding Styles and Jericho, they're dragging that out still. There's some good things on this show. This has the potential to be a very entertaining show, but it's the build. It's the hype for WrestleMania that's terrible. I would say the one that I remember being a real dud was the year that Rock saved WrestleMania, the first year he came back with Cena against Miz on top. I couldn't tell you the rest of the lineup, but I just remember feeling like, boy, if it hadn't been for The Rock, they were in big trouble that year.
Do you, from a satisfaction after the show is over standpoint, I think Vince McMahon feels like he's going to do enough to make it feel special. But I think unless you're just a huge fan of Shane McMahon, it's hard to look at this lineup, especially the top matches, but even the undercard, I'm not just completely crazy about either. You know, throwing some good talent in a multi-man match, you know, a ladder match, it's not my favorite way to strengthen the undercard either. So, yeah, I think this qualifies to me as the lowest, the lowest anticipation headed in.
Yeah, you know how like some professional sports teams have a rebuilding year, and I think this is what that kind of seems like. It's a rebuilding year, I guess, with all the injuries and everything. And I'm at least excited that WrestleMania 33 is near my neck of the woods, so that I can maybe kind of make up for it. Although, you know, the memories of everything are going to be great. I just have, you know, one other question about Raw, and the 3-hour Raw format and everything. And I'm a cable cutter, so I actually don't have cable and don't get the USA Network, but I feel like, and you can tell me if this is a pro or a con, or you know, maybe it's a pro for me, but I feel like I'm not missing anything, because every Tuesday morning I can catch up on Raw, number one, through your hotline, and I appreciate the VIP membership for that, but really, number two, once I'm done listening to the hotline, I fire up YouTube and I watch these 4 or 5 minute clips of everything that was worth watching, basically, in WWE's eyes, of what was going on. and I feel like I'm completely caught up and ready for, you know, whatever pay-per-view is coming up. You know, how can that actually even work for WWE? How is that something that, you know, really for them, it's like, no, we have this 3-hour program, but you can get caught up in 15 minutes if you like. In fact, on Wednesday, I can watch a YouTube clip with the top 10 moments and really feel like I've not missed anything.
I think that is a challenge for them in this modern era. And I mean, Road Dogg infamously, you know, said ratings are antiquated. They are not happy when ratings go down 4 or 5 weeks in a row like they have. I think it's 4 weeks in a row the ratings have gone down. They were 2.44 last night. That doesn't make them happy. That's a bad thing. More viewers watching start to finish, or at least a couple hours of Raw, is better than fewer. No matter how you slice it, you're better off having people watching the full show, or a lot of it, live on USA Network, because they're going to have another TV deal that comes up, and that TV deal is going to go way down in value later if they don't keep people watching live. Now, that said, they are hedging a bit. I don't know if that's the best term, but they see WWE Network as a way to insulate themselves, I guess, by not having to worry about that, because people basically, for a flat fee, if they can get up to 2 million people paying $10 a month to just pick and choose what they want, when they want it, they're less worried about how much time people invest in the program. So I think it's a transitionary time, but they got paid a lot of money to deliver good ratings to NBC Universal on their TV package, and they're going to take a huge hit, unnecessarily so, if they don't do a better job making the first run live airing more valuable. But they might look at it as, Jason, something that they just can't fix, that there's nothing that they can actually do to change the pattern now. Like Wayne says, I'm life's busy, I got things I want to watch, and I'm fine just kind of picking and choosing. I mean, I guess the NBA and the NFL could say, well, some people don't watch the games, they just watch highlights. I think the goal for WWE should be to make experiencing Raw live feel like you got something of added value that people who only watch highlights later missed out on.
For sure, yeah. It's a challenge for them. I mean, there's going to be more and more cord cutters, and they can't fight that. But they can give up the damn money and cut the show back to 2 hours and make it feel more must-see for those of us who do still have cable or satellite. That, I mean, I don't know that they could have gotten 2 good hours out of last night's show, maybe. But it's still, there's so many weeks where it just does feel like, man, if they just trimmed the fat, that would have been a really good episode. It's a marathon. They're killing their live crowd. I mean, they didn't even have any reaction to Vince McMahon's announcement last night. Granted, it was poorly announced, but they were chanting, this is boring, during the main event. It was a bad main event. But there's so many examples. It's not just one show. It's just this history. Ever since they've expanded to 3 hours, they don't have the talent for it, and more importantly, they don't have the creative staff. That's the real key. They don't have the creative staff to pull this off, and I don't even know that an excellent creative staff would be able to pull this off consistently, but it's just something that I really wish would change, and probably never will.
The only thing I feel like I missed out on, you know, was like when Shane McMahon came back, my friend texted me, you know, Shane's back, and I thought, oh man, I missed out. And then I heard what happened right afterwards, and it immediately deflated me, because I would have been so excited to see Shane back, and then the Undertaker stipulation got tagged on, and it literally, it just made me feel so deflated. I was like, well, I'm glad I missed it, because I wouldn't have wanted the live disappointment.
Yeah. Well, and WWE needs to reward viewers who watch live and not seem like they're just slogging through trying to fill 3 hours. And, you know, that's where I go to. I talked about at the top of the show, the Dean Braun Strowman match. If you're going to do it, and I don't think that you can afford to have, you know, Roman Reigns wrestling every single week on TV. I mean, even if he was popular and crowds were popping for him, that's bad. That's bad. I like that they're not overexposing him. And they're very thin on talent right now in terms of top stars. But I think they can get more out of a Dean Braun match, but they have to make us feel like we're seeing something special. I mean, Jason, I sense that Paul Heyman is kind of phoning it in right now, too. I mean, I don't think he's particularly excited. He's like, oh, people say that we're not scared of Dean. Oh, no, Dean, he's a tough competitor. We're taking him seriously. I thought he was going to throw out the phrase, Dean is very capable. He's the very capable Dean Ambrose, which is always the adjective announcers use when someone's about to lose. I don't even think Heyman can fake excitement over this big event for Lesnar. This feels like a network special match. No offense to Dean, it's an odd mix of styles. It's two baby faces, sort of. So yeah, I just it just doesn't feel like even they are really believing in this right now.
No, I think this is a much bigger match for Dean Ambrose than it is for Brock Lesnar, and I think Paul Heyman. There may have been it may have shown their cards when Vince had that line backstage. I may be reading too much into it, but that line to Heyman that you're not talking me out of this like you always try to do. There was something along those lines when they had that goofy segment where Stephanie then took him in a back room and acted like they didn't know the cameras were there. But there was that line there that just made me laugh, because that's certainly been Paul's reputation over the years with Vince. But I also wonder if he really was lobbying for, hey, we need to, you know, Brock should be in the main event. And I still think he should have been. I think they should have gone back to Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, given, you know, what they have at their disposal. I think that was the approach to take with this. And instead, it's just this awkward couple of matches with Ambrose and Lesnar and then Reigns and Triple H. And I don't think the maybe they have a good direction for this coming out of it, but on paper, I'm sorry, but Lesnar and Reigns excites me a heck of a lot more than either one of the matches they had this year.
Wayne, anything else for us?
No, guys, thank you very much. And I'm flying into Austin to be with my brother, and then we're driving 3 hours to Dallas, and I'm already looking forward to we're stocking up on some past live casts to listen to on the way there.
Now, you said a couple of weeks, I believe, so you better check your calendar, because I don't want you showing up late for WrestleMania.
Yeah, this is about a week now, that's right.
There we go.
All right, cool.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks so much, Wayne. Good to hear from you. All right, let's go to VIP Express caller Tim from Erie. Tim, welcome to the show. Let me put you on the show before I welcome you to it. Go ahead, Tim. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, guys. Appreciate you taking my call. Been VIP about 2 months, and I'm just still blown away by all the content, so thank you very much.
Excellent.
Hey, two points. If Shane vs. Taker in Hell in a Cell was pitched to Taker back in September, do you think he would have retired, or is he actually vested in this match?
Jason, Taker and Shane get along really well. I have not heard. I don't know if you have, how Undertaker feels about this, but Taker and Shane have, I think, a good chemistry behind the scenes. So Taker may see this as being a company guy, maybe gritting his teeth a little bit, but also understanding the lack of options. And I think part of Undertaker is, you pay me, and let me have a say-so over how the match goes, and put me against somebody I you know, like or trust, and I'm fine with it. But I doubt this was his first choice.
He is in the biggest match at WrestleMania this year. It's not even close.
Yeah, that's true.
So, would he rather be facing John Cena? Yeah, probably. Maybe even Sting. You know, who knows if that would have been the fallback plan if Sting were healthy and Cena were injured. Maybe they'd be going with that match right now. I don't know, over Shane McMahon. But I think the fact that this is the most marquee match on the show, he has to be pleased with that. I don't think he would just say, I'm taking my ball and going home. It would really take a lot, and I don't think Vince would put him in that position. So I assume he's content with this. Maybe not enamored. Again, not his first choice, but I guarantee you he had some say in this.
Yeah, yep. All right, anything else, Tim?
Yeah, just one other point. The whole Stardust character, are we ever going to see Cody Rhodes again? Because I think the Stardust character is just dead on arrival, and a returning Cody Rhodes would seem fresh and would be a good opponent for some of these new guys.
What do you think, Jason?
Well, I really thought that he should have, around the time his father passed, and he took that when people were suggesting it. He basically felt like people were encouraging him to exploit the death, and it wasn't that. It wasn't come out and, you know, turn yourself into a dusty tribute act. It was just, you know, now's the time to drop the paint. Come out as Cody Rhodes. That's what the fans want. It does, again, doesn't have to be a dusty thing. I think he plays the part very well. He has a theater background. He's very much into comic books, and so it kind of combines some loves for him. But I don't think Vince McMahon sees anything in that character. And I do think he saw more in Cody than he does in Stardust. And somebody said something about, he mentioned online that he was trying to get out of it not too long ago or something, and it just hadn't happened yet. So maybe that is coming. Who knows? Maybe maybe right after WrestleMania that will happen. I would really like to see it, because I just think Stardust has been run into the ground. There's nothing there.
If Cody wants to make money, he ought to look for a way to get out of this. If he's just in it to earn a living and have fun and you know, just work kind of a mid-card house show type feud semi-consistently, that's fine. But I think Cody has a chance to be more than this. I talked about it, was it with Matt McCarthy last Thursday, I think, on the live cast? I think we talked about Cody, or maybe it was on, I don't know, it was on one of the shows I did last week. I talked quite a bit about Cody Rhodes and the upside that that I think he still could have. Not saying you build the brand around him, but I think he can be more. He's still young enough that he's worth investing in as Cody. I think the start thing, it kind of played itself out. It was a way to, yeah, play off his dad and his brother, and that just sort of has played itself out. You know, his dad sadly died, and Goldust is now in a domestic tag team partnership with Goldust or with R-Truth. They're trying to. So yeah, I mean, there's really no point to Stardust. And even Titus O'Neil, his playmate that he was trying to psych out and play mind games with, got suspended. So yeah, it's just, what if he disappeared and then came back with, you know, recast, that'd be fine. Although Cody's tried a number of things, and I think each one has moved him down the card, not up the card. So however he comes back, I'd like to see him have a little bit more of an edge if he wants to try to reach what I think his actual potential is. Tim, anything else?
No, that's it. I think Cody Rhodes has tremendous upside, and I'd love to see him feuding with like a Dean Ambrose or Kevin Owens. So hopefully something like that happens in the near future. But thank you guys so much for all that you do. Absolutely love the content, and I'll listen to the rest of the show. Thank you.
Thanks, Tim. Really appreciate it. Yeah, I would like to, I mean, I want to see Cody Cody, outside of the Stardust gimmick, also needs to become a more serious fighter and less of a performer. I was critical of John Morrison, you know, very athletic, was, you know, good timing in the right spot at the right time. But in this, when he was in WWE, less so in Lucha Underground, he felt like he wasn't fighting. He was sports entertaining and performing and being athletic. And I wanted to see him because I think he could easily convey it. I think he's shown again that he was tough and badass. And with Cody, I want to see a little more grit. I want to see a little bit more edge. I'm not saying, you know, climb a hill of tires with Sergeant Slaughter and wear camouflage like Greg Gagne did when he went through the Rambo phase to prove how tough he was in the mid-80s. But do something to give Cody a sense that he takes himself and his job seriously, and it's not all about grooming nose hairs or talking about intergalactic psychedelic stars that he sees in the sky. So we'll see. All right, Tim mentioned this, the PW Torch VIP membership. I invite everybody to become a VIP member who listens to this program. So much bonus content comes with a VIP membership. Right now, we're running the WrestleMania Retrospective Series. And in that WrestleMania series, we have roundtable reviews that over the last 10 years or so, Bruce Mitchell, Pat McNeil, and I have reviewed in depth, sometimes up to close to 2 hours on some of these events, 1 hour on others, usually more than an hour, reviewing a lot of past WrestleManias. And we established this year an RSS feed, where it's part of our main RSS feed, plus you can subscribe just specifically to our WrestleMania RSS feed. And between now and WrestleMania, we're going to have on that RSS feed our retro roundtable reviews of WrestleManias 1 through 15, all posted. So these WrestleMania roundtables include, and Bruce and Pat have been following wrestling decades, and as insider fans, Bruce going back to the 80s, same with Pat. And so we've experienced these WrestleManias in real time. We knew what the expectations were going in. We know the backstage stories on what other matches were considered, why they went with the lineup they did, how these matches affected their careers. It's not just fans sitting back reliving WrestleMania and saying, oh, I like that move, or this was fun when I was a kid. These are roundtable reviews, an hour to 2 hours in length, of three working journalists and insiders talking about the behind-the-scenes aspects, the critical reviews, the long-term ramifications, and the place in history of each of the first 15 WrestleManias. Now, as soon as you sign up, you can go to our WrestleMania special section and download and stream all our WrestleMania retrospective shows. But we are adding them to the RSS feed over the next week and a half also. So there's going to be multiple ways to access those shows. In addition to that, and it's in the upper right corner at our ad-free VIP website, pwtorchvip.com, a website exclusively for members, no ads, with over 28 years of archives. So the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, over 1,400 back issues immediately available. You can read my reviews of every pay-per-view, roundtable reviews from the staff of every pay-per-view, WrestleMania and otherwise. And when you go to that site, when you sign up, in the upper right corner is the WrestleMania special section link. You can't miss it. And it includes not just those roundtables, but also WrestleManias 21 through 31, the night of the event roundtables with Bruce and Pat joining me for those reviews. In addition to that, my written reviews, including star ratings and match reviews of every WrestleMania, starting with WrestleMania 5 all the way through last year's event. There are links to that, cover stories, the Torch Staff Roundtable, reader review and poll results, and much more. And you can also dive into the back issues and lose yourself in reading the build-up, the reviews, the commentary on what was happening on Raw or Superstars or whatever the appropriate TV show was hyping it at the time, and my previews of the shows, and then also all the fallout. You can completely, in WrestleMania season, lose yourself in our real-time coverage over the last 28-plus years covering each WrestleMania. We also had the Wayback Playback of WrestleMania, they did WrestleMania 19, 4 hours of real-time analysis from Pat and Jim, and they are tackling another one right now also. So so much cool WrestleMania-themed stuff that you can get as a VIP member. So much more comes with a VIP membership. You can get details on that, including the new every week Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter with exclusive content, my cover story, columns from Bruce Mitchell and Greg Parks, my Raw report, and so much more in PDF and all-text format. All of that are archives and around 100 VIP audio shows per month, including 10 years ago VIP audio shows, retro radio shows from the Attitude Era, dating all the way back to the early 90s, the Pro Wrestling Focus show that I hosted on KFAN, John Arezzi's Pro Wrestling Spotlight, with more shows added on an ongoing basis, and Jim Valley's Total Chaos Radio from the Attitude Era. Really cool. You can hear it when callers call up unsolicited and talk about how much they love being a VIP member. Your chance right now to sign up. $10 gets you in for a full month, or you can get a discounted rate with a three-month subscription for $27.50 or a full year for just $99. Full details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. They'll give you full details on that page on everything that comes with the VIP membership and how to sign up. It's a mobile-friendly sign-up page, and it takes about a minute and a half, 2 minutes to sign up, and you're in. And I think you'll love it, so check it out. All right, let's go back to the phone lines with the time remaining in today's program. And I believe we have, let's check, we had another VIP member on hold in the VIP Express lane. But I think last I checked, I think he dropped off. So let me just check again here. All right, yep, I think that's the end of the VIP Express calls. But let's go, I think he might be back. Sorry, hold on here. Let me, that's a different. All right. So nevertheless, let's go to 952, local caller here in Minnesota. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
This is Brian. I'm calling from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Hey, Brian, good to hear from you. What have you got for today?
Want to hear your guys' take. I'm calling a little late to the show, but it's the Roman Reigns 80s action movie scene they did with the SUV with Triple H and Stephanie. For me, the most disturbing part of it was the amount of fuel that was ejected from the muffler when they sped off, which I think is kind of a metaphor for WrestleMania this year. I think they're putting a lot of effort in, and a lot of stuff is kind of falling out the back end that they're not really paying attention to, and that really is ultimately money and tickets being bought at the arena. So my larger point in is, how is the buildup that, as it's kind of happened so far, affected the WrestleMania, I guess not buy rate, but ticket sales? Do you think they're going to sell out and go over 100,000 people in the venue? Thanks, guys, and have a great show.
Great. Thanks, Brian. Always good to hear from you. My favorite moment was that Roman Reigns was standing there, and with all the things Triple H has done to Roman, I'm surprised they didn't just, you know, push on the gas pedal and say, move or we're going to run over you. I don't know why suddenly Triple H has all this concern for Roman's well-being. I guess he'd be running over his WrestleMania opponent, and that might be bad for business. But even more so, don't they know where the lock button is? I mean, Roman took this slow jaunt, this threatening walk to the SUV, and he did not, or Stephanie didn't lock the door. And I thought that was kind of odd, Jason, that they just let Roman open the door and go after Hunter through the car when they could have locked the SUV and driven off.
You had a driver, you had Triple H, you had Stephanie. None of them knew how to lock the door. It was amazing.
Nope.
Yeah, the garage opening slowly and Roman standing there the whole time. Oh, my God, I about died. It was total cheese ball moment. And the fact that they didn't run him over, I guess, was kind of explained away in Steph's thing about how he lacks intellect because he put his own WrestleMania title match in jeopardy. Although you could say that Well, yeah, Hunter, does he care about what's best for business truly, or does he care about keeping the title? Because if he runs over Roman Reigns, he runs over his number one contender. So then he gets to keep the title conceived. You know, they'd probably give him another opponent, but I don't know, maybe he feels really confident that he can beat Roman Reigns. Wade, I'm reaching for them.
Yeah, and I'm not going to reach. It just was, it was cheeseball, as you said. I mean, a lot of what they do is cheeseball. The way it was filmed was cheeseball. The close-up of Roman contemplating what just happened that gave the crowd a chance to boo was cheeseball. I mean, they just they don't need to be cheeseball, but they are. Anyway, all right, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go next to 616. 616, please state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Eric from Grand Rapids. How you doing?
Doing good. Good to hear from you, Eric. What have you got for us?
I heard a rumor that Randy Orton's going to be back soon, and what kind of role do you think he'll be back in when he comes back? And that's all I got. Thanks.
All right, thanks. Yeah, I mean, Randy will be ready after WrestleMania. I don't know the timing, but, I mean, they could use him. I actually think it'll be – I think, Jason, that Randy will feel fresh coming back because it just seems like it's been quite a while since we've seen him, and a decent amount has happened. I hope he comes back a little reinvigorated and freshens up his character and shows more of the personality he showed in that sit-down interview on the balcony of or the roof of that building with Renee Young on WWE Network. There's more to Randy than he allows himself to show on television. But, yeah, where do you think he fits in, and have you heard any timeline?
No, the timeline is kind of a mystery. I think he could be Roman's fall guy, and if he's back soon enough, he could be a guy that they would feel safe putting in there. It just depends. Do they want to bring him back as a babyface or a heel? And you would think, well, he's going to get a babyface reaction. But so is Cesaro. So is Seth Rollins. You know, I mean, they have a lot of guys. So is John Cena, kind of. But they have a lot of injured guys, and they need heels. They desperately need heels. And Randy has kind of been mostly Teflon, unless Triple H and Stephanie McMahon are involved. And so if they feel like we can do something, you know, have Roman be attacked by Randy, I still think, by and large, Randy gets cheered in that whole scenario, but I could see that being their plan more so than Ryback, who I don't know where this whole thing of Ryback becoming the contender coming out of WrestleMania came from, but they screwed him that way last time. Wade, it would just be such a it would just get his latest heel turn off to the same bad start.
Yeah, I have high hopes. Well, I have guarded hopes that Randy will come back reinvigorated, but if Randy may not have it in him, or the writers may not have it in him, and they might just think, hey, Randy just coming back and being slotted. I mean, I think Randy's more comfortable as a heel than a babyface, and they need heels. But I think there's some pretty interesting matchups with him either way, although I would say that even the Daniel Bryan series.
John Cena.
Oh, God, Jason, shame on you. Shame on you. Shame us. Hey, a pun. Let's go there. I Randy's been disappointing more often than not, a victim of high expectations. It's a compliment in a sense that when Randy's against somebody, you expect it to be really good. But I think, if he's been battling issues health-wise with his shoulder especially, it might be understandable why some of his matches have been good, but not at that elite level that those
right.
who have seen his whole career were hoping for. So if he comes back healthy and reinvigorated, then I'm all for it. If he comes back and is just cautious and kind of phoning it in and going through the motions, I mean, I guess it's better than nothing, but I'd rather have that push go to Cesaro instead when he's healthy.
We kind of skipped over the question about the ticket sales. It's been reported that they're already over the 80,000 mark and that it's the building, it's not going to hold 100,000 with the stage. And so they might actually be close to capacity, and that would explain why we haven't seen. I mean, we're seeing them push the MSG house show, and we're seeing them push next week's Raw. So you know they're still trying to sell tickets for that. We're not seeing them, hey, WrestleMania tickets still are available. They're not doing that, and so they must be very close to where they want to be for this.
And the not getting to 100,000 after kind of floating that number out there is going to actually, I think, lead to some people being disappointed. Because
well,
I think,
but they'll lie to them. Whatever they do, they're going to say they broke the record.
Well, they'll say they broke the record. I'm wondering if they fit 89,000, they're going to say 98,000 or 96,000, so they can say they broke the record. They might even say 100,000, even though they can't get 100,000 in the building. Or maybe they change the seating around or the staging in some way once they realize that they can sell that many tickets. Maybe they reduce some of the staging in order to get closer to a number that is less of a stretch when you if they want to brag about 100.
I think it would have been really cool if this was the year where we're just like, hey, strip down. We're not going to have the gigantic stage. We know it's a big part of Mania. It's not going away forever, but we're legitimately going for 100,000. They're not doing it. I mean, there's still going to be the gigantic stage, but I just seeing some of the shots from the Silverdome back in the day. They didn't have the big elaborate entrance or anything like that. It looked awesome. Just, you know, this sea of people and then a wrestling ring in the middle of it. I thought it was great.
I do too. I mean, I like the stripped down feel of shows. I liked it with the house show on WWE Network, and I talked about that with Steve Austin last week when I was on his show. You know, it felt more kind of like that UFC big boxing event, and it felt nice for a change. So, but you know, I think people expect all the special effects and the big staging. It's part of the branding. But if they could sell, you know, 10,000 more tickets at a high price, I think that they would find a way to reduce the staging and find other creative ways to make it seem like a big spectacle. All right, let's go to 562 next. 562, please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hey, it's Ruben J. from Los Angeles, California. How are you guys?
Good, Ruben. Thanks for calling. Been a while. What have you got for us?
Well, I sent you an email, so I don't know if you guys got that, but I just wanted to ask you a question about Dolph Ziggler, who, it seemed like for a while there he was trying to be Billy Gunn, and then now it seems like he's trying to be Shawn Michaels, and I wanted to see what you guys' thoughts are on possibly is WWE trying to like give him, you know, a chance to actually rise to an occasion, or is this just, you know, the same old Dolph that we've been seeing for forever?
Jason, what do you think? I'm not thinking that they're thinking as much about Dolph Ziggler as maybe Ruben is.
You know, there could be some connection with Shane. With the change coming, I assume, with Shane, storyline-wise, that maybe he gets something from that. I think that's your best bet. I'm not seeing it. I don't see a lot of interest there. I mean, the fans were into his match with Triple H, but then he just came crashing back to reality on SmackDown. And I honestly, I find him more comparable to Marty Jannetty. He's just kind of a letdown, unfortunately. And the guy has talent, no doubt about it, but he doesn't deliver good promos. He doesn't have the right voice for it. There's a lot of things missing from Dolph Ziggler's game. It's more than just getting in there and taking a bunch of bumps and overselling everything.
I agree. All right. Thanks, Ruben. Let's go to New York City next, 718. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
How you doing, Wade, Jason, Mike from Brooklyn. How you guys
hey,
doing?
Mike. What have you got for Jason and me today?
Pretty couple things real quick. First off, like, to me, over the course of the past couple weeks, like, is it just me or do you guys see or slightly see them positioning now? It seems like they positioned Dean Ambrose as, like, the top babyface, aside from Shane McMahon. I mean, with the Foley, you know, package and then Terry Funk. And then, I don't know if y'all caught it last night when he came out, the way, like, I don't know, maybe it's just me, the way Vince, you know, just kind of gave him that look, you know, when he came out and nodded.
Jason, what do you think of Mike? Are they positioning Dean as with the Terry Funk thing? I don't see Terry Funk as this indication that Dean's on the any better position than he was before I saw that skit.
No, I looked at the last two skits as, okay, Dean is going into a hardcore match. You know, that's how they're trying to sell you on his match with Brock, because I think they've established so well that Brock would destroy Dean straight up that we need to have weapons here, and now Dean actually has a fighting chance because of this. The look on the stage, it's one of those things, could it mean something? Could it come back at some point? Yes, but chances are it doesn't. It's not the first time they've done this where two characters have crossed paths and nothing ever comes of it. They're usually a little more careful with Vince McMahon, but, I mean, everything they've done with Vince lately has been a mess. So I don't think anything's coming from it. I would think that not so much a babyface thing, but could they go back to that as, like, they're in cahoots? But I really didn't take that from it. I think, if anything, that's the story they would try to tell just because of that look. But unless we see some more next week, I'm not reading anything into it.
Yeah, I guess I like the idea that maybe they go back to it. That's laying the groundwork for Dean turning heel and fighting for the authority against you know, Shane and or Roman and or whomever later. Mike, what's your second question, real quick?
I mean, pretty much a statement. Then I listened to it. Like you were saying earlier, this is pretty much like the most underwhelming, like as far as WrestleMania is to me, I think it goes up there, like you said, with 27 and 13 to me aside, because my favorite one was 17. Like, top to bottom, that was probably one of the bumps. And pretty much that's all I have for you guys. Keep up the good work. Wonderful show. Thank you, guys.
All right. Good to hear from you, Mike, as always. All right, let's go to I don't really have anything to say. I mean, I think we covered that earlier, Jason. I mean,
yeah.
We can all list our disappointing WrestleManias, but okay, let's go to 916 next, Believe Sacramento. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Ron. I'm actually from Modesto, California. But I have
all right, what
number.
Do you got for it? All right, cool.
I got a couple things for you. I agree with you guys on the Dolph Ziggler. I was going to bring that up, but I kind of agree. I think he should have went away before he started changing his act, but whatever. So I want to talk about AJ Styles. I know everybody's big on him. I'm not quite buying this guy yet.
Now, how much did you see of him before WWE?
In the mid-2000s, I watched TNA, and I watched him, and I wasn't really impressed with his promos mainly. I'm more of a promo guy than an in-ring action guy. I think I grew up during the Attitude Era, and that was where it was all – like, that's where all the fun came from. But, I think last night's promo that he did to Jericho was the first time I've actually heard anything I've enjoyed from him. But he actually comes off to, like what you were saying earlier, being more of a John Morrison type to me, in my opinion. All like flash, like I don't really care for his moveset. I don't care for his look very much. It's just like the only thing I really like is like his springboard forearm, and he kind of uses that to death. That's one thing. The other thing is I think Roman Reigns last week, his promos have actually been the best I've seen him ever. They're short, sweet, and he's not like joking around. He's more like forward, like cut the BS. And I feel like this is how he should have been after Survivor Series. All the, like him trying to be a jokester, kind of like The Rock used to be and everything, I just don't think it's his style. I think they should kind of go straight forward with the attitude kind of thing. I think it's, and whether he becomes a babyface or a heel, I think that's the direction he should go. And then the other thing was, Kevin Owens. I love that guy. I hope he actually puts that that frog splash as a main finisher for him. That was a thing of beauty. And,
it was,
yeah, I think that match, actually, that was another thing about AJ Styles. It was almost as if he was like Super Cena for a minute there. But anyway, that's all I got, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. Jason, I agree on Roman that editing him down, maybe he put his foot down and said, I'm not going to read this crap anymore. You guys are killing me. You're costing me millions of dollars. I'm not going to say tater tots. I'm not going to, you know, do lame jokes. Just let me be a man of few words. And I think he's better that way. Ultimately, if you want to be a sports entertainer in WWE with a 3-hour and 10-minute weekly show plus 2 hours of SmackDown, and you're going to be the centerpiece, you got to be able to handle more than a few short quips on the mic. Part of the job description, Jason, of being a top babyface in WWE is being able to sell tickets vocally, verbally. And so he has to get better in that regard. But in terms of shielding him now and letting him kind of find his way by taking a few steps back and letting him grow into something more appropriate for his personality, I think they've made the right move.
They have. I mean, but I think it's out of fear. I mean, they're in Philadelphia, they're in Brooklyn next week, the WrestleMania crowd. I'm curious to see what happens once we get through WrestleMania and the night after. What happens the next week? I don't even know where they are. But whenever they get back to the Midwest, for instance, is it Roman kind of going back to that? Have they kind of figured out this is the way, or is this just booking out of fear? And logical. What they did last night was very logical, putting him in there with Stephanie McMahon, who's never going to be cheered. It's the one person they can count on to be booed.
Yeah.
It's not like anyone's going to cheer for Stephanie over Roman. And so it was smart. And keeping him out there for a very brief period is also smart. So it's the right move to make, but it's also being done out of fear, I think.
What's your take on AJ Styles so far, a couple months in now?
I thought last night was the best in-ring performance he's had. It was also the worst performance he's had on the mic. He really wanted the crowd to chant AJ Styles, and they weren't playing along. Yeah, and it's too bad because they were so into the match, and I don't know if they were just dead at that point or if it's just, man, we're not that into you, dude. We've already seen you. But he, you know, mic work has never been his thing. I think they did wrong by him, by introducing him in the manner that they did, where he is this plucky underdog, and it's a question of whether he can do it or not. We just see that too much, and I think the way to introduce him was to say, have JBL types questioning whether he could do it and have everybody else saying, yes, he can. This guy is amazing. And they haven't done that. It's they're starting to, but I think if he has more matches like he did last night with Kevin Owens, it's the problem will be solved by and large. It doesn't mean they're going to push him to the top, but as far as like him connecting more with the fans, I think that will happen. And if you like Kevin Owens, you don't want him to do the frog splash as his nightly finisher. It's a nice thing to bust out once in a while. I don't want to see a guy his size doing top rope splashes on a nightly basis.
Yeah, on AJ, I think that they still are feeling him out. I mean, I think that not everybody, including Ron, that Vince McMahon thinks is his target market, know AJ's track record or care. They want to know, what can you do for me now? And he can have good matches, but so can Dolph Ziggler. I disagree with the idea that AJ doesn't come across as if he's in a fight and he's tougher. I think AJ is actually really good in that regard, but that's part of maybe a result of my seeing his work in New Japan and all of that. But no, I think AJ still has an upside, but he's not Daniel Bryan. He's not CM Punk. He's his own guy. And they're still feeling out how that fits into the WWE formula on the mic and in terms of promoting him. And part of what I think is hurting AJ, Jason, is I don't think he feels that the promotion has his back the way that he was kind of the centerpiece. He stuttered and stammered confidence-wise in TNA also when he was getting bad material. But in New Japan, he carried himself like a star. In Ring of Honor, he carried himself like a star. When Styles is positioned to have that bravado, I think fans pick up on it. I think fans are picking up on the idea that Styles isn't a great fit so far for what WWE asks of its top talent. And at his age, I just don't know that we're going to go through the growth period that Daniel Bryan did, for instance, kind of earning fans the WWE fan base's respect and getting to know him and like him. They've got to do something different with AJ. I don't think it's too late, but I talked about this on the Keller Hotline last night for VIP members doing the whole detailed Raw report for 45 minutes and commentary on things. I think there are some things they left out with AJ that are going to be hard to make up for, but I think it's worth still trying. Not so much to reintroduce him, but build on what's there, but make note of what's not clicking yet. The reaction he got at the Royal Rumble, in contrast to what we saw last night, is not random. It is telling, and it is, frankly, WWE's fault, mostly, although AJ has been limited on the mic, and part of that is on him, too. It's a problem, but if Randy Orton comes back as a heel, I want to see AJ Styles as a face against Randy Orton as a heel, and I'd like to see better have them work more with AJ on getting good promos out of him that fit what they're looking for. I mean, that's just one example of a match that I'd be open to seeing.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun.
Yep. All right. I want to remind people that if you shop at Amazon, please start by going to pwtorch.com/Amazon. There's a link on that page. You click on it, you go right to Amazon's homepage anyway, where you're headed anyway. But everything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission on. It's a great way for you to throw a few quarters, a few bucks into the tip jar. If you go on a shopping spree, we might see even more than a few bucks of commission on that. And we really thank you for doing it. It's a small gesture that you can do that doesn't cost you anything and takes an extra 2-3 seconds to type in pwtorch.com/Amazon instead of Amazon. And it is a cool way to show support for what we do here at the livecast. So when you start typing AMAZ on your web browser, stop and remember us. And instead type pwtorch.com/Amazon. And don't forget, too, MMATorch.com is our sister brand. And if you're into UFC and MMA, it's a great website, great layout, mobile-friendly, desktop-friendly, with a new shiny app also that you can download on Android or iPhone and get daily updates, exclusive analysis of the news, columns, live event coverage, and so much more. Check it out at MMATorch.com. Let's go next to area code 770. This is in Georgia. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Jimmy from Georgia.
Hey, Jimmy. Thanks for calling. What do you got for us?
Hey, quick question. Has anybody figured out what's going to happen if Ron Leads the Nation wins tag team titles? How are they going to do that?
I guess it's the Freebird rules expanded by one?
Yeah, that's my – well, it won't be for long if King Barrett really does leave in June.
That does solve itself, I guess, in that way. I don't think I don't know that people have stressed out over it, but I think WWE would just assume that, yeah, any two of the four. I don't think the belts will change hands, so I don't think it's an issue they're spending a lot of time on.
Okay, that's all I wanted.
All right, cool. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right, let's go next to, I believe, the Tampa area, 813. Please state your name and where you're calling from. 813.
Hey, Wade. I'm Jason.
Hey.
This is Jason Tapp.
Hey, Jay. Thanks for calling. What do you got for us?
Hey, I have two quick questions here. One is, why don't they keep the heels as far away from the step segments as possible?
Yeah.
I just didn't understand the need for her to try to demasculate what we're trying to keep as maybe possibly the only heel, Kevin Owens, and she still finds a way to want to, you know, almost get him into one of those slap in the face segments. And my second thing is, will we see a nostalgia act at Mania, or is the closest to a nostalgia act going to be the Taker angle, or could we see something else? I know sometimes I listen to the Booker T podcast, and he's always lobbying for this final Harlem Heat. He's talking about Harlem Heat versus the Dudleys and Dallas would be that he claims he keeps lobbying for and behind the scenes. So will we still act like that, or are we just stuck with this lineup or the lack thereof? That's all I got.
All right, thanks, Jay. Jason, I think we're stuck with the lineup.
Yeah, I do too. I don't think you're going to be seeing Harlem Heat reunite for a match with the Dudleys. They're already booked against the Usos. And what was the other one?
That's the only one I remember him saying. Jay, are you right? Still there? I didn't pick up on the first match you mentioned either.
Yeah, no, that was all I said was
about
the Harlem Heat and the Dudleys. And the other thing was just about the Kevin Owens and the Stephanie.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, thanks, Jay. Yeah, I kind of groaned at that too. I mean, a Kevin Owens looking like a school kid going in to ask his teacher for, you know, permission to, I don't know. It's just, yeah, I thought it hurt Kevin Owens. My thought last night watching that is WWE desperately needs more alpha characters, alpha male, alpha females. I don't think they did Sasha and Becky any favors on SmackDown last week or Raw this week, having them just bitch and moan and complain and undercut and downgrade each other in an immature way while Charlotte stood there laughing.
They're just catty,
Yeah, they're catty. It's Jerry Lawler. Oh, women don't get along. Yeah, there's so many better ways to promote the women's division than the way WWE's main roster does, and it is sad knowing what this could have been and what it is. With Kevin Owens, he doesn't come across as an alpha. I mean, he's manipulative. He's the smartest guy in the room. He should be booked to be outsmarting Stephanie, and I think their defense is, well, in a way, you know, he outsmarted people because he put three non-contenders in there instead of the three who really wanted him. I don't know that he was greatly damaged, but I did groan, and I do think that's one of the bad parts about Stephanie, one of a list of bad aspects of Stephanie's on-air role. She's talented in certain ways, and like you said, playing off of Roman, that can be helpful, but she shouldn't be sharing the screen with a heel, emasculating them intentionally or not.
I have to admit, I get a kick out of it. Everything you're saying is totally right, but I think what we saw Kevin Owens do was recreate a scene from Step Brothers when they go in and ask the parents if they can build bunk beds. It really had that vibe to it, the way he delivered it. I got a kick out of him saying that, you know, hey, could tell Hunter I said hi. That was very comical to me. So, yeah, wrong on many levels, but at the same time, right, because it made me personally laugh.
All right, we're going to wrap up the show on that note. If you haven't yet, check out pwtorch.com for the latest breaking news. Do it every day. And see what we've got on our site. Jason Paul's website is prowrestling.net. And you can do the same over there, breaking news and all the stuff he talked about earlier in the show. Tomorrow, Pat McNeil. Thursday, Interview Thursday, I'll be back. Friday, Bruce Mitchell and Travis Bryant. If you want more thoughts on Raw, James Caldwell and Greg Parks yesterday dissected that program, last night's program that we talked about here for close to an hour and a half. And so we certainly invite you and encourage you to check out that if you haven't yet, including more phone calls from our live cast listenership. 97 minutes of James and Greg running down Raw, talking about what they saw as baffling and puzzling buildup to WrestleMania 32. Jason, as always, my pleasure doing the show with you, and we will talk to you on the other side of the music as our VIP exclusive after show for our respective members. We'll be recording after this and posting on our VIP feed and the .NET members feed. You'll be doing that later also.
Hey, sounds great, Wade.
All right, great. Thank you, everybody, for your support of what we do here. Thanks for moving us so high in the iTunes rankings. If you have a chance, if you have a minute to go in there and give us a 5-star review and some kind comments about this show, that does make a difference in helping spread the word of this program. We really appreciate if those of you who enjoy the show will take a moment to do that and give us a good 5-star review on iTunes and some kind words. Sometimes only the complainers take time to do that. So if you're somebody who actually really likes what we do here, we know there's a lot of you out there, we'd love for you to help spread the word in iTunes. That does it for me and Jason for today. Until next time, thanks to our callers, by the way, also. And until next time, Wade Keller signing off.